Here's a man that you may recognise if you've been up in the Pacific Northwest covering the football up there. You may recognise him from your Saturday mornings watching the Barclays Premier League as well. He is a Wimbledon legend, a TV broadcasting hero. He is Mr. Robbie Earle joining us here on World Football Daily. Robbie, how are you doing today, mate?
Morning, Ollie. I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
Very well indeed, very well indeed. First, before we get into the week's action, we've had a lot of talk sent over via the emails and Twitter and whatnot about the new broadcast coverage of the Premier League in the US and how good it is, how kind of undampened down the discussion is. Fans feel like they're being treated like they're on the same level as the correspondents that are covering it. NBC, what was their strategy going into this season to really shake up the coverage in the US for the Premier League?
Well, I think, you know, NBC felt there was a space to do this thing slightly differently, and that's not being critical of anybody else who'd had the rights, but the thing that came across to us as broadcasters, as pundits, talent, was that we wanted to be authentic to the game. We wanted to produce the game as if you were based back in the UK and you were seeing things at that level, at that quality, understanding the game. It certainly wasn't a case of dumbing it down for an American audience. And being true to the spirit of the league, really, I think were some of the key messages that came across very early from the executives and Pierre Moussa, who oversees the whole programming. And we'd like to feel we've at least started that process. Certainly areas we, as a company, we need to improve, and we're very open to the suggestions. But we at least feel we've given a good platform of showing the league as it is. And, you know, I think the biggest compliment that we had were a few of my friends who are based in the US said it was almost like being back at home, watching the games, the analysis, the match of the day. You know, it was all very much a feel as though you're back at home on a Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening.
I mean, for NBC especially, the way they've gone out about it, they've advertised, promoted it. Does this show how big football is becoming in the US? It was obviously, you know, 6 years ago, and we've spoken about it before, about how it was didn't really feature, and now it's getting very prominent.
Yeah, I think it shows two things. I think one, it shows the commitment and the support that's been put around the rights. So it's one thing buying the rights, and everybody can sort of find out the numbers that you pay for the rights. But it's another thing in terms of putting the right support, programming, advertising and marketing around it. I mean, some of the marketing campaigns that have been, you know, fantastic. The viral videos of the Tottenham coach has been, you know, just well received, you know, worldwide. I think it's a recognition that the game's now taken on a greater importance, another step. It's reaching different audiences. It's bringing in the numbers. It's engaging people. I've got a number of Americans now who talk to me, who ask me, what club shall I support? I need to support a club. They feel as though they want to be part of the league. And that's, I think, where, you know, the growth starts to come now. People want to be involved in the Barclays Premier League. They understand it, and they're starting to get the excitement and the drama that we've grown up with, really.
Are you telling them to support Stoke City, your former youth career club, or are you telling them to wait for Wimbledon?
I'm trying to dot them around depending on people's personality. So I've tried to throw a few to Everton. I've tried to throw a few, you know, some of the clubs coming up. I said, it's always nice to support an underdog. So I've tried to throw a few to Palace and obviously a few for Stoke, where I was brought up. So, yeah, it's just sometimes quite nice to try and think, and I sometimes try and say, well, who do you support in the NFL or the NBA? Because, like, I think, okay, who might be the English equivalent in terms of team? And so that's where they understand it a little bit in terms of personality of club, you know, where you're from, style of play. So, yeah, it's been quite fascinating, actually. You know, you're having conversations now with cab drivers in the US that you have with the black cab drivers maybe in London. So, yeah, that's been quite funny.
I bet that's a bit surreal as well, being driven about and finding that. I mean, I guess it makes it easier after this weekend to cast out a few US fans towards Cardiff City after just an incredible game that I don't think anybody predicted this scoreline coming through. Same old problems for Manchester City, though. Is it raising their game for the big sides and then just not doing enough when they face lower opposition?
I think it was a little bit of a welcome to the Premier League for Manuel Pellegrini. He probably thought this thing was going to be a bit easy, dominated Newcastle, you know, tore them apart as Newcastle went down to 10 men last weekend. But I think one of the things that I try and explain to the viewers, any new viewers coming into the league, that this league's like no other. This league, you cannot ever rely on anything or take anything for granted. And Manchester City will have more possession than most teams, have got more talent in the squad than most teams. But that doesn't necessarily mean you win games. And sometimes it's about having the heart and the fight and the desire, which Cardiff showed in abundance, you know, their first home game against a team that were champions 2 years ago. And those are some of the things that I think Manchester City and certainly Pellegrini will have to learn. That, you know, the days that Manchester City play their football, they're going to win 3 and 4 and we're going to be drooling over them. But there are days when that isn't going to be enough. The good football and the talent and the technique isn't going to be enough away at Stoke and some of the, you know, the difficult places that you have to go, the newly promoted clubs who are going to be fighting for their lives. You then have to match, you know, the effort, the work rate and the determination of the opposition as well. And maybe it's a good lesson learned for City early on in the season. Put them on their toes.
What about for Cardiff as well? I mean, a fantastic result, really kind of fought hard, but they were handed a few of their goals as well, especially thanks to some shoddy defending from City and Joe Hart with his flapper as well. Will they have to make sure they keep their feet on the ground from this result?
I don't think so much. I mean, before the ball was kicked, I actually said, I feel that the teams that came up, Cardiff City are best suited to sustain in the league, I think. They've waited a long time to get here. Everything seems set up with the club now. They've got a new stadium, new training ground. Everything seems happy. I like Malky McKay. I think he's one of the fresh young managers who's, you know, looking upwardly. One day, I think, destined for a big job. I think I like what they did in the transfer market, brought in some good acquisitions, spent money in the right way. And so I don't think it'll be a problem. I think Malky's got the group where he wants them. They're used to winning games, having done that in the Championship last year. So they won't get too carried away. They'll understand what... But it will give a little bit of belief and confidence to them, because there's nothing like when you first step in that Premier League and maybe you don't get your win in the first day and, you know, a couple of doubts creep in, and maybe if it's the second week you don't get your win, the doubts get bigger. I think that'll just give one or two that sigh of relief. You know, we belong here, we've earned the right, and we can hold our own. And that's important. That you can imagine training this morning at Cardiff. It's a real buzz. Everybody will want to get in and get back to work. And, you know, that gives them a chance now to build a platform and start to amass some points.
Oh, surely Malky will be giving them the day off on a Monday after a big win.
No, let me tell you, knowing Malky is a little bit, he'll have him in doing a little bit of work. And that's exactly the reason why he won't give him a day off. Keep your feet on the ground, keep things normal. It's a win, 3 points, but we've got to get back to work. And because this league, if you take your eye off the ball in this league, you can go 4, 5, 6 games like that without a victory, and that's when you're in trouble. The key to doing this league is putting little runs together, you know, winning, drawing, winning, and the odd loss in between is enough to keep you in the league.
The new boys had a pretty successful weekend as well. Hull City Tigers, as we now have to call them, getting that 1-0 win against Norwich for Steve Bruce. Important to get off the mark, but for Palace, this is now, I mean, there's already talk of Ian Holloway being under pressure with two games, no points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a typical one. I mean, you look at Palace squad and it doesn't look, I have to say, on paper, strong enough to survive. It's going to need some of that spirit and personality of Ian Holloway to drive the club, to keep them buoyant. They're going to go on spells where they will lose games. They've got to stay together. They've got to believe in themselves. They've got to still keep trying to dig results out. There's still a little bit of time in the window. It might just shorten one or two up at the club to say, let's go and try and do some business, whether it's loans or bringing in a couple of acquisitions. But Palace are going to find it difficult, no doubt about it. If they can, you know, their aim is to be fourth from the bottom of the league, I would think it should be no higher than that at this stage. But again, listen, like, yeah, we should, you know, I don't like to be writing people off after two games in the league. We've seen things turn around drastically. But at the moment, they look a little bit short of pace across the team, of power and of understanding of people who've been there, who know the job. And there is an argument that he might have been a bit too loyal to some of the players in Holloway. Players who got them out of the Championship might just be a little bit short of what's required in the Premier League. Now, only time will tell.
Elsewhere, I mean, already looking near the bottom of the table, but obviously everything changes. We're only two games in, but Newcastle starting these first two games with no goals. 1 point, though, a draw against West Ham on the weekend, but not a great performance. I mean, there's still problems hanging around this club on and off the pitch. There's the Kabai thing going on. Do you think they need to settle and have the transfer market over with so this Newcastle side can finally settle?
I do, for sure. I mean, it was interesting because part of the NBC deal is that we spoke to a number of clubs, coaches, players, managers during the pre-season, and we spoke to Alan Pardew probably 2 weeks before the start of the season. I've got to say, he was remarkably confident about his group. He said, you know, we've not lost anyone. We've come together. We've got people fit. We haven't got the Europa League as a challenge now. It was a quiet inner confidence about him that he felt... I think that this team was ready to go back to the team that finished fifth a couple of years ago, a team that could challenge people physically, athletically, and football-wise in terms of technique. So I think the whole Kabai thing threw them off. I think the timing of that was poor. Poor performance really against Manchester City. And then really they were looking for 3 points at the weekend to kickstart, to put some of those doubts and criticism to one side. And it hasn't happened. And, you know, as the case with Newcastle, they're always a club in the media because it's such a huge club in that area. That people start talking about the off-field stuff and the relationship between Joe Kinnear and Alan Pardew and the owners. And, you know, the Kabai situation now still doesn't... We don't know where that's going to quite end up or what the fallout is from that. So, yeah, I'd agree. I think Alan Pardew almost wants the window shut, know what group he's got, know what individuals he's got, and then start to work to put things together. I do think that one good victory from taking a step forward. I just think they need to put in a good performance, maybe get a 3-0, 3-1 win somewhere, and it will give them that little bit of belief to kick on again.
And get nice and settled, I'm sure. I mean, Robin, you know Joe Kinnear, who's heavily involved now in the transfer policy better than probably anybody. What kind of player is he going to want to bring into Newcastle? Who's he going to be looking at to steady this ship in the last few days?
Difficult to say in terms of name, but in terms of personality, individual, Joe likes people who are prepared for the fight. You know, he likes ability, he'll look for the technical ability, but beyond that, he's into character and personality and what makeup you have. Because it's now a tough challenge for Newcastle. This is a club which is under the spotlight, whether they like it or not. Everything they do week in, week out becomes public knowledge. And so you have to have a certain strength of character to deal with that and look at that. But I looked at their squad after I'd spoken to Pardew, and when they were all fit, if you look at the 1-11 that could play, if you talk at Krul at the back, you've got Colaccini now and Biwer or Taylor, you've got Davucci Santon, you've got Arthur, you've got Kabai if he stays, Tioti, Gutierrez, Sissoko, Remy, Cisse. I've got to tell you, that's not a bad group of players to go out and look at games. It's a kind of team that can upset people with the way they play. They've got good pace. There's enough power in there to hurt teams. But, you know, they need to come together. They need to become solid. They need to stick together as a group and start to build a bit of team spirit and a bit of rapport between themselves so that, you know, they don't come unstuck as they did against Manchester City a week ago.
It'd be interesting to see how Newcastle play out the last few days of the transfer window and how it all plays out in general. We've been talking about ethics a lot in the last week with Mourinho's comments about not going after Rooney and Arsene Wenger being heavily criticised for the Kabai move. What this Willian move suddenly from Chelsea, stealing him away from Tottenham. How do you explain, you talk about ethics and then this happens. I mean, it's just hypocritical, isn't it?
I mean, it's staggering that a player, I just can't believe how a player can have a medical at one club, which basically means you've signed, it's done and dusted, and you know, they're just checking out physically that everything's okay. And then all of a sudden, you could be whipped away to a near rival and be sold. Again, I think nothing surprises in football, and there is no ethic in many respects. Somehow, Chelsea have seen a loophole, exploited that. I don't think it particularly reflects well on Chelsea. I don't think it's how people see business should be done. We know that it's great competition at the top end of the league. But again, you may also look at Tottenham and say, well, how they allowed this situation to come about. So, you could probably put some blame on both sides, but it just doesn't, I don't think it sits well with people. It certainly doesn't sit well with me. At times, the way Chelsea do some of their business, they'll say it was a loophole that they've exploited. You tend to feel as though at that stage, if a player's done the medical, that's almost as like the deal's been done, almost a verbal agreement whether the contract hasn't been signed, and so it should be honoured.
It's a long way away from the days of your days at Wimbledon, surely, I'm sure, Robbie. Look, Robbie, we really appreciate you taking the time out to join us here on World Football Daily. And of course, we'll have to catch up with you as well at some point about Major League Soccer, because despite your lure to NBC, you're still sticking with the MLS as well.
Yeah, very much. I mean, I've came over and got involved with the MLS through the league, worked with the Portland Timbers over the last couple of years. And part of my agreement with NBC is that I don't sort of stay fully focused on the Premier League and forget about the MLS. The MLS this year is a fantastic league. If you look at the two conferences, you've got, you know, 7-8 teams on both sides who are vying for playoffs. You know, everybody's beating everybody at the moment. The big teams are getting beat by lower teams. And so it's a great excitement. And I'm pleased to still be around it. I did a great game on Friday night. Chicago played Kansas City. Chicago actually beat Kansas City, who were top of the league. So that's thrown something into the pot for the Eastern Conference that everybody now is feeling they can still make it to the playoffs. So, yeah, it's been great. And at some point, it'd be nice to talk about, put a little bit more time and talk about the MLS as we get close to playoffs.
We will definitely keep in contact with you, Robbie, and have you on the show before we get into the big Major League Soccer playoffs come the end of the season. But for now, thank you so much for joining us here on World Football Daily, mate, and we look forward to catching up with you and seeing you every week, either following Major League Soccer or the Premier League on our television screens, man.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Cheers. Have a good day. Mr. Robbie Earle joining us here on World Football Daily for NBC and for working for Major League Soccer as well, covering both the Premier League and the US's homegrown league. Very good friend of the show. Top, top man, Robbie Earle. Got to meet him last summer and just lovely, lovely bloke. Always willing to have a chat about football and always willing to get involved and stay involved in the game, both outside it in the broadcasting mode. And of course, he does get involved with teaching it and coaching it as well. To local kids as well. So a top, top man indeed. Robbie giving us the lowdown on some of the Premier League's big scores from over the weekend. And of course, that Willian transfer, as he says, just unbelievable to think. You go for a medical at one club, deal's done and dusted, and then suddenly he's in a Chelsea shirt just a day or so later.